How many know that miracles can sometimes be messy? Sometimes miracles are messy. You know, this whole thing that we celebrate, the birth of the baby in the manger, was a messy miracle. It was a troublesome miracle. But Merry Christmas, everybody. And it's a full of life story of truth and gives us hope. And I really want to take a few moments and talk about a few parts of it this morning. But basically, after 400 years of silence between the Old Testament and the New, prophets weren't prophesying for 400 years. God decided it was time for a celebration. You've got shepherds out on the field at night, the lowest of the low, and taking care of sheep. You don't get much worse than that. How many know sheep can stink? All right, so this is probably not December. It's probably August or September, the Feast of Tabernacles time. They're out in the fields. They're watching. They're taking shifts watching the sheep. It is not a fun time. But I'll bet they were hungry for the love of God. Somebody to accept them and love them. John 3, verses 16 and 17 tells us, "For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believes in Him should not perish, but have everlasting life. For God did not send His Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through Him might be saved." Now, what I want to do this morning, I'm going to read quite a number of scriptures, and I want to take a look at the Christmas scriptures. Luke chapter 2, verses 1 through 17. "It came to pass in those days that a decree went out from Caesar Augustus that all the world should be registered. This census first took place while Quirinius was governing Syria. So all went to be registered, every one to his own city. Joseph also went up from Galilee out of the city of Nazareth into Judea, to the city of David, which is called Bethlehem, because he was of the house and lineage of David, to be registered with Mary, his betrothed wife, who was with child. So it was, while they were there, the days were completed for her to be delivered. And she brought forth her firstborn son, and wrapped him in swaddling clothes, and laid him in a manger, because there was no room for him in the inn." I don't know about you, but I used to, when my kids were little, we'd begin our morning on Christmas morning by going over these Christmas scriptures. It's so important for us to remember, how did Jesus come into our lives? "Now there were in the same country shepherds living out in the fields, keeping watch over their flock by night. And behold, an angel of the Lord stood before them, and the glory of the Lord shone round about them, and they were greatly afraid. Then the angel said, 'Don't be afraid, for behold,'" please read it with me, would you? "'I bring you good tidings of great joy, which will be to all people. For there is born to you this day in the city of David a Savior, who is Christ the Lord. And this will be a sign to you. You will find a babe wrapped in swaddling clothes, lying in a manger.' And suddenly there was with the angel a multitude of heavenly hosts, praising God and saying, 'Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace, goodwill toward men.' So it was, when the angels had gone away from them into heaven, that the shepherds said to one another, 'Let us go now to Bethlehem and see this thing that has come to pass, which the Lord has made known to us.' And they came with haste. They found Mary and Joseph and the babe lying in a manger. Now when they had seen him, they made widely known the saying which was told them concerning this child." Mary received her miracle. Mary probably was a woman of, or a young girl of 12 to 14 years of age. That's all she was. The angel announced to her that she was going to bear the Messiah. For hundreds of years, prophecies, over 300 prophecies took place in the scripture about a Messiah coming, being born as a baby. And every woman in Israel wanted to be the one to birth the Messiah. And she responds in a beautiful faith. You remember what she said? We call it the Magnificat. I don't have it up there, but what does she say? "Be it unto me according to your word." What a great response of faith. And Mary received a miracle. We know that she went to see her cousin Elizabeth, and a babe leaped in her womb, and she gets prophesied over that she's going to bring forth the Messiah. A whole bunch of miracles take place. So how come, if it's a miracle, it ain't easy? You think it was real easy for Mary all of a sudden to start showing that she was pregnant? And she'd never known a man, never had sex. This was a virgin birth. And try to put that one over on your relatives. But she received her miracle. Joseph receives his surprise. And then he receives his miracle. Mary was betrothed to Joseph, the Bible says. Now she's pregnant. Now in those days, you have to understand their perspective of marriage. And what happened was it was negotiated by the parents. And the girls lived with the parent for the next year. And the boy lived with his. They were as good as married, but there was no consummation. That would prove their purity. Only Mary was now pregnant. So shame, condemnation sets in. She's rejected and presumed guilty. And Joseph, the Bible tells us, was a just man, but he still wanted to put her away. He wanted to divorce her privately. But it took an angel. And an angel came specifically to visit Joseph. And he had a dream. And an angel spoke to him about this being God's child. Stay with Mary. And he did. Hardships came with the miracle. Have you ever wondered, come on, anybody in this room ever wonder, why isn't life easier? Okay, two honest ones. I want to see the rest of the show of hands. How come anybody ever think, why isn't life easier? All right, good, I'm in the right group. How come life is sometimes messy? Why are things frustrating? And Lord, how come if you're with me, things are tough? Even in Jesus' family, the very family God chose to birth the Messiah, they suffered hardship, rejection, pain. Why, Lord? Why isn't life just easy? How many know that suffering produces something good inside of us, usually? If we'll allow God to have His work in us and we'll go back to Him with our frustration and say, I don't get this, He'll usually work something good out inside of us. Have you ever had something happen that seems so bizarre, so messy, so troublesome, but you hang on, you get through it, and on the other side, things are better than they were before the problem? Huh? Maybe loss of a job or something frustrated happened and all of a sudden, or maybe you lose some income and all of a sudden you have to live more simply. And some couples remember the early part of their marriage when they didn't have much money and how close they were. And the Lord brings them back to that kind of a state. Sometimes those happen. Those things happen and sweetness will come as fruit from a tough time. Now Mary's 9 months pregnant and here's a tiny family that has to travel for a census. And don't you think that getting up on board that donkey was easy? Especially for a woman 9 months pregnant. Don't you think that she might not have been like you? Maybe once or twice when the donkey hit a bump in the road, she might have been frustrated. Would you, ladies? Do you think you'd tell your husband about it? Watch where you're driving this burro! Are you sure you took the right turn? But the leader in this time frame, when Jesus was born, was a total tyrant. We've talked about him the last few weeks. Herod the Great was a total tyrant. He'd killed 3 members of his own family, ended up killing his wife. This Caesar had little regard, little care for a mother with a 9-month pregnancy happening. If he wanted a census would take place. But God used the census to put Mary and Joseph right in place for where the miracle needed to happen. Hundreds of years of prophecies talk about this Messiah being born in Bethlehem. And God had to get them there. And He did it. Could God work something good from the mess that you might be experiencing in your own life? Maybe there's something going on that you haven't even spoken to anybody about. Could God be up to something good? Turn to each other and say, God is up to something good. Now look at each other and say, it's a messy miracle. Now, your miracle might not always look like a miracle, honestly. Sometimes, have you ever had a wrestling match with God? You know, I get into wrestling matches with God, and it usually goes like this. No, I know what's best. Come on, anybody else? Okay, a few honest ones. I know what's best. And ultimately, of course, God always knows what's best for my life, but sometimes I think I know better. Father knows best. and he knows all of life a lot better than me. I'll bet Mary could have thought, hey, God, you got me into this. Why aren't you making it any easier? Or maybe Joseph. God, you got us into this thing. You told me to stick it out. Now all our friends have rejected us, and here we are alone. We didn't bargain for this mess. We don't read any of those words, do we? We don't read any of those words. Then they come to town, and there's not even room for them to have their baby. Not even God can get in. It's a little like Port Ludlow, isn't it? No room for them in the inn. Like, not just Port Ludlow, Port Townsend, Port Hadlock, Chimicum, Irondale, like all these places. Too many times in our busy and our crowded lives, God can't quite get in. So, he sets us up, allows something to happen that stops us in our tracks, and if we stop long enough, we take a fresh look at him, and we say, okay, what is it you want to say? What is it you want to do? Moms, how many mothers in this room? When it was time, and you were in the midst of labor, how'd you feel about the guy who helped you get there? But after the baby is born, the suffering pales in light of the baby. Sometimes we get really angry at God, if we're honest, for the suffering. But when he shows us what he's about, or when he brings us through it, we understand he had the purpose all along. It's just kind of a messy miracle. Sometimes he gets you right in place, so you're dependent upon the Lord. The inn. Some commentaries suggest that Joseph and Mary expected to be received in the upper room of the house of the main sheik of Bethlehem. He was possibly a friend or even a member of the household of David. But he ended up, Joseph and Mary ended up going back probably in a cave that was hewn in the rock at the back of this house. The Israel, if you've been there, is not a land of a lot of wood. It's a land of a lot of rock. And so the country, being full of rock, had caves hewn out behind some of the houses. And they probably slept on an elevated platform alongside the interior of the stable. The animals were kept on the interior. There was a raised platform around the edges, and that's where the shepherds slept. Since this was the season where the animals were kept out in the fields, the stable would possibly be clean and a little more empty and clean than normal. But that's where it was. We expect and understand that Jesus was born. He was laid in the nearest manger, which was basically a feeding trough, hewn out of the stone. Dark? Yeah. Dirty, probably. But quiet and away from the masses of people thronging all about, gathered for the census and probably for the Feast of Tabernacles. Swaddling clothes. The Greek word is spargon-a-o, and it means to strap or wrap this baby with strips of cloth. To swaddle and to swathe are the same word. They go back to a root word that means a bandage. The oriental swaddling of an infant consists of a square of cloth and two or more bandages. The child is laid on the cloth in such a way that the infant is then wrapped up and held tight. And this forms the clothing of the child until he or she is about 1 year of age. The omission of the cloth was a sign that the baby is not cared for or is abandoned. So Jesus was cared for like every other child of the day, wrapped in swaddling clothes, much loved and certainly not abandoned. And Jesus never abandons you. Turn to each other and say, the Lord never abandons you. Even the Son of God is restricted for a little while. Your miracle might not always look like a miracle. A baby? God, is this such a good idea at this time in our lives? What we're really asking for, Israel could be saying, is we need a deliverer. We want somebody who's going to rise up and get rid of these awful Romans. And God says, I got an idea. Let's take the slow approach to your answer. don't look so holy at me this morning. Has God ever taken the slow approach to your need and answer? An answer's coming. It's on its way. Just hang on. God just wants slow brew rather than instant. So the miracle comes in the form of a baby. What's that all about, Lord? I prayed for deliverance. I prayed for provision. I would do it differently, God. But this way, God ensured that the Messiah was just like us, felt like us, knew what we went through, knew what our temptations are, the Bible says. He was fully man who experienced sadness and sorrow and grief. He probably skinned his knee as a little baby or as a little kid falling down, and he probably had to learn how to walk just like everybody else. And I bet he probably, let's say it this way, I bet she had to change those swaddling clothes every now and then. You know, I mean, this is the Messiah who came like you and me. Fully man, fully God, the one who became the Savior on the cross. How many know God's purposes are bigger than our conflicts? God's purposes are bigger. Wise men come from afar. They ask where they could find the newborn King of the Jews. Scholars told them right where to go, and scholars didn't put one step toward an effort of going themselves. You know, don't you think that the wise men might have thought that was a little crazy? You know, here I come to Israel. I've been making a trek over at least 1,000 miles probably. I may have been at this for 6 months to a year probably, trying to get there, following the star. I show up, I ask him where the newborn King of the Jews is, and nobody's excited. They tell me where to go, and none of them want to come with me. Strange, isn't it? Difficult. Messy. God isn't even accepted in his own family. Herod then orders the children 2 years of age and under to be killed. This miracle was messy. But God had his purposes underway. And that little baby was protected. And frankincense and gold and myrrh were the payment that gave them the money to travel into Egypt and be safe and then travel back out after Herod was killed or after Herod died. Miracles aren't always easy. Jesus' miracle was sometimes messy. But I want you to know something. Your Christmas miracle is Jesus still today. And sometimes life and faith and walking with him isn't easy. And sometimes it's messy. But your Christmas miracle, Jesus, is right here for you. And he knows exactly what you need and how to meet your need. I'm going to close with a story. A lady named Catherine Moore tells a true story about her relationship with her dad. "Watch out! You nearly broadsided that car," her father yelled at her. "Can't you do anything right?" Catherine says the words hurt deep, worse than blows. She turned her head to look at her father, now an elderly man in the seat beside her. Daring her, his eyes were just daring her to challenge him, and a lump rises in her throat as she averts her eyes. She wasn't prepared for another battle. "I saw the car, Dad. Please, don't yell at me when I'm driving." And her voice was assured and steady, sounding far calmer than she felt. Her dad glared at her, then turned away and settled back. At home, she got there, she set her dad in front of the television, and she just had to go take a walk. The stress was too tough. Dark, heavy clouds lay over their scenario. What am I going to do with him? He was a lumberjack in Washington State and in Oregon State, and he had enjoyed the outdoors, and this was one brute of a guy in his heyday. He reveled in pitting his strength against others, and he entered competitions, the grueling lumberjack competitions, and he placed in great positions often. The shelves of his house had shown the trophies of his prowess. Years marched on, however, relentlessly. The first time that he couldn't lift a heavy log, she watched him show no emotion, but noticed with pain when she saw him go out later after everyone else had gone and struggle to lift that log, that he had always lifted before. He became irritable when people teased him about his advancing age or when he couldn't do something he'd done as a younger man. But 4 days after his 67th birthday, he had a heart attack. And it was a powerful heart attack that stopped him. And they rushed him to the hospital, and a paramedic administered CPR to keep his blood and his oxygen flowing. And thankfully, miraculously, Dad's life was spared. He was lucky. He survived. But Catherine says his life was never the same. He completely changed. His zest for life was gone, and he refused to follow doctor's orders. He would come back with sarcasm, and anybody who offered to help him was meted with a sarcastic insult. And pretty soon the number of visitors thinned, and after that, stopped altogether. And Dad was completely alone. So her husband, Dick, and she asked Dad to come live with them in their small farm. And they were hoping that the air and the atmosphere would give Dad some strength and help him adjust. But within a week after moving in, she felt like she'd made the worst decision of her life because it was messy. Nothing was good enough. Nothing was satisfactory. He criticized everything she did. He was frustrated. He was moody, and she was starting to take her anger out on her husband, and pretty soon they went for counseling, and their pastor made time for them weekly just so they could come in and talk it through and make sure they were doing all right together in the midst of this really tough time. And one day she reached the end of her rope, and she grabbed the phone book, trying to figure out, what can I do? What kind of help can I get? I just can't take this anymore. And she called mental health clinic after mental health clinic, and no one was able to help her, really, until the last call she made. And the person said, wait a minute, I just did some reading about something. Hold on. And he went and retrieved an article and came back. And he said, you know something? I've just read that there are people under chronic depression that if you get them a dog, their attitudes improved dramatically. That afternoon, she drove to the shelter. She filled out a questionnaire, and a uniformed officer led her to the kennels, and there were five or six kennels, and each of them had five or six animals, and they were leaping all over her, and they were great, and they were frisky, but just didn't do it until she got to the last kennel, and the last dog, and over in the corner, with calm eyes just looking at her, there was an old pointer. She said, you know, the pointers are the dog world's aristocrat. Only this pointer was a caricature of the breed. Years had etched his face and muzzle with shades of gray. His hip bones jutted out, kind of like how ours feel at times, right? His hip bones jutted out in lopsided triangles. But his eyes held hers. I pointed to the dog. I said, can you tell me about this dog? And the guy looked at her. He says, ma'am, you don't want that dog. She says, well, tell me about him. And he says, the dog showed up 2 weeks ago. We thought somebody would claim him, but we're going to put him down tomorrow because nobody's claimed him. And she says, you mean you put the dogs to sleep? He said, ma'am, we can't keep all the animals that come here. She looked down at the dog, and the dog looked right back at her with these calm eyes. And she said, I'll take him. And the guy goes, okay. So she gets the dog in the car and puts it on the seat next to her, and she rides home. And then she pulls into her driveway, and she's excited because Dad's going to love this. She pulls in, and she starts honking on the horn. Honk, 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 honk. Finally, her dad comes out and looks at her with eyes of disgust. And she says, Dad, look what I got you. And out lumbers the aging aristocrat, the pointer. And Dad looks at her with eyes of disgust, and he says, if I'd wanted a dog, I would have gotten a dog a lot younger than this bag of bones. I don't want anything to do with him. Turned around and started to march back in, and the daughter couldn't take it anymore. She said, you get back here. She says, this dog is staying, and you'd better get used to it. Guy looks at the dog, looks at his daughter, looks at the dog, and all of a sudden, the aging pointer lumbers over to him and slowly reaches out a paw And the guy fell on the ground with his arms around the dog and hugged him and held him tight. And they became the best of friends. People would see him walking all over town, and they'd go down to the river and he'd go fishing. The dog would go right with him. And they'd walk through all the streets and explored the town for 3 years. And in fact, he started to take the dog to church with him. And he'd sit in the pew, and the dog would sit on the ground right by his side. And they'd get up and lumber out, and little old gray pointer would lumber out as well. One night, in the middle of the night, Catherine, the daughter, felt the dog's cold nose up against her arm. She said, "The dog never comes in at night." She got up immediately. And she went in to find that her dad had gone to be with Jesus in the middle of the night. He looked so at peace. And 2 days later, Cheyenne, the dog, died as well. They held a service. It's a true story. They held a service. And person after person began to file in and sit in these pews. People that loved Dad and his dog. And the pastor stood up and he said, quoting from the scriptures, "You never know. And you need to thank God, because you might just be entertaining angels unaware." And the daughter, in her heart of hearts, stopped and said, "It all made sense. This old dog shows up. Nobody knows where he's from. Looks at her with these beautiful eyes of peace and love. She takes him home, and Dad's bitterness disappears. And Dad lived for 3 more years with the best of friends." A Christmas miracle that sometimes seems a little messy may not have been the show dog everybody else wants, but just what he needed. Jesus loves you, and he's got miracles for you today. Merry Christmas. He is the greatest miracle. I pray that you and your family have an absolutely wonderful Christmas. Enjoy the miracles God brings, sometimes a little messy, but always, always good. And one more time, look at everybody and say, along with me, Merry Christmas. God bless you. Be released.